Hey, welcome to A Talk with Mom, and I'm so excited. I have my first real non-family guest, Kate, who I call Kate the Great. Kate is from Clear the Chaos Organizing. Kate branched out on her own. What has it been now? Has it been a couple years or
to 2 years? September will be 2 years.
Wow. So tell us about your vision, Kate, and how you ended up doing what you're doing.
Well, I just kind of found that being a busy mom and having so many things on your plate that it's really hard for people to get to organizing, or when you're doing a big organizing project, and I'm talking like we're going to organize your garage. So you're going to take everything out of your garage, see what you need, see what you don't need, and put it back in. Well, it's super hard to do that if you have kids around. You pull everything out and you get overwhelmed. Or if you have kids around or you're busy, you don't have a whole day to dedicate to it. So I thought, what's a way that people can buy their time back? And myself, my own personal story, my husband works out of town and my parents live 10 hours from where I am. So I have the resources or the financial resources to get help, but not the help I needed. Like I didn't need a daycare. I didn't need a chef. I was like, I need somebody who can come in and organize for me. So it was kind of a case of create what you wish existed. And then I'd had a couple friends come to my house and they would always comment how are you doing so much? You're always out doing stuff and you're hiking and your daughter are out, but your husband works out of town and you don't have a lot of family help here. And I just started to say I'm really organized. I don't have a choice, so I have to be really organized. So I'm super organized. And they'd look around my house and then they'd say, can you come do this at my house? So I did. I organized a couple people for a bottle of wine. And then my husband was my husband was like, hey, we're not doing this for a bottle of wine anymore. More and more people, every weekend a friend is asking you to do this. So turn it into a business. So then it became a business.
My gosh, I think that is so fantastic. And I know how we met. I originally was looking to move from our old house to our new house, but we had to move into temporary storage for a little while and then think about what I needed in the meantime and then have it unpacked a month later. And I was like, oh my God, am I even going to start
this? Where do I even begin?
And I remember calling you and going, okay, this is sort of the scenario. Are you good with this? And you were just like, yeah, absolutely. But I have to say, Kate is the fastest worker I have ever seen in my life.
Thank you.
And you know, there's something that it's just a lesson I've learned in life is that there's people who love to do anything you hate.
Yes, exactly.
There really are.
Exactly. There is. Lots of people don't want to spend a weekend organizing their garage. I'll wake up regularly and be like, let's go organize something.
Oh my God, how I respect that. It's just awesome. And I think having an organized life is just a breakthrough thing. I know when I go and I finally clean whatever it is. Well, first of all, it takes a lot less time than I expect.
Than you expect.
Yes. Second of all, just that sense of relief. So tell me a little bit, have you ever delved in to figure out what are some of the mental health benefits of decluttering and getting organized?
Yeah, totally. Well, I think a thing that people don't realize, often too, when you're younger, you think of getting lots of things and getting a bigger house. Every item that you bring into your home or you own requires energy from you. It's energy to store it. It's energy to buy it. It's energy to bring it in your home. It's energy to store it. Then it's energy to dust it and move it around. And then eventually energy to part with. So all of these things eventually are just kind of zapping your energy from you when you have a house that's cluttered, filled with stuff that you don't necessarily need. So a way to buy your time back and kind of buy your energy back is to just have stuff that's purposeful to you or meaningful or sentimental items. I'm not the sort of organizer that thinks, oh, get rid of everything, live minimalist. My home isn't minimalist. But it's just good to be aware of how it's affecting your mental health when you have all of this stuff that you do have to care for. Because it's not just acquiring it, then you have to care for it as well. And I've noticed when I go and I declutter people, it really kicks them off in the right foot, the right direction. I did this one guy's garage and it was filled with stuff that had been in there 10, 15 years. We got it all cleared out. I went back to pick up the next load of donations and he's up cleaning his gutters and he's spraying. He's like, I've never felt more motivated to get things going. And he actually lives in my neighborhood. So a couple of weeks I drive by later, he's painting the house. It really can You don't realize how it's weighing you down until you free yourself of it and how much better you feel.
It lifts a burden. You know, one time, like I follow Kate on Instagram, and if you don't already, you got to look for her for Clear the Chaos. It's fantastic because she shares so much information. But one of the things you said to me that I absolutely loved was, well, I said to all of your fans, was clutter is just delayed decisions.
It really is. It's just stuff that we've put off that we don't want to deal with. I find that some of the biggest roadblocks for people getting rid of things are it's either sentimental items or the guilt of it. Like someone else has given them this item and now they feel like they can't part with it. But if it's not necessarily an item that's serving you any purpose, you're just kind of holding on to it and taking a space where you could have something that's actually useful to you. So kind of like...
Yeah, that's true. You know what? I know now I can be fickle when it comes to like fashion and shoes. I don't spend a lot of money on it, but I kind of like to have whatever is like new or great or fresh. And then whatever I had before, I don't like it anymore. And I won't go back. I mean, I still like it, but I won't wear it because I want to wear what, you know, whatever. But then it's not worn out. And it's not totally donate in my mind because it's still worth some money. So it accumulates and accumulates. Yeah, I don't really want to go to the Facebook Marketplace. I end up taking it to Value Village.
Yeah.
Donating it when I finally just have to go, okay. But there's a period where it accumulates. Give me some advice, Kate. Help me with my shoe problem.
Well, after we get off this podcast, I'm going to set you up with my excellent consignment girl because consigning clothes is great. And there's a lot of people who do it nowadays and they have Instagram pages. And a lot, they're very easy to work with. Like you just leave the clothing outside. They come and they pick it up at your door, bring it. It's all posted. And then you get usually the split. Don't quote me. It's 60-40, but they keep some and you keep a little bit. And then it goes towards, you can put it towards new clothes. Yeah. So there's a lot of consigners nowadays and resellers.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Who resell clothes. And then a thing too that you said is the cost of it. But by holding on to it, you're not really getting any money back from it. Like the cost, the money was gone when you bought it. Mm. Like when you bought the $100 sweater, the $100 was already gone.
Right.
So you kind of have to shift your thinking and you're not really recouping. Yeah. Like when you buy your vehicle, you don't usually recoup a huge cost from it. It's kind of. So like sometimes I'll say that to people if they're holding on to a lot of things and they're thinking, well, I can sell it. Well, I can. I'm like, well, the money's like that money's already gone. You spent that 10 years ago on that, whatever the item is.
Like, right. I
mean, kind of like a moving forward sort of feeling.
Maybe we do perceive the value of our stuff a little too high sometimes. I always find the great humbler is having a garage sale.
Yeah. And people that's so true.
And everyone's like $1. And they're like 10 cents.
Yeah.
You know, that it's kind of like, okay. And at the end of it, you're just like, oh my gosh, just go. I don't want to bring any of this back in the house.
But
yeah, that's true. So I'm at the phase of life, and I imagine some of our listeners are at the same phase of life where we're downsizing. Like when I moved, I had to right size. You know, and maybe everybody always is because you go through life changes, right? When my kids were little, I had to clear out that stuff. My kids are teenagers. Well, okay, there's a lot of change for that. Then they move out. Now there's a lot left over from that. And then, so now I've got my mother and my in-laws. I mean, some of our listeners might know that one of the reasons I even started this podcast was because when I was downsizing my mom, I was making some videos and we got an extraordinary amount of money for her teak chairs, which went viral on TikTok and had 39 million views now, which is...
That's insane.
Something else? I know. Yeah. And now here I am smiling because I think we've had 112 listeners on our podcast. Actually, I think it might be 130 now. But
nice.
We'll get there. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's slow burn. Social media is a slow burn.
It's just fun. And honestly, I'm like, well, hopefully we made 130 people happier. They got a tip out of it. But I just can't believe how downsizing is just such a part of my life right now. My husband Warren's parents are moving. Now their house is, they have a house here in Kelowna and they have a house in Edmonton.
Right.
They don't want to take any of that stuff back to Edmonton. No. And they also actually have like a trailer in a retirement village in Phoenix, Arizona that they want to sell. That needs to all be emptied. So tell me, where do we begin when it comes to downsizing, right sizing? What are your strategies there?
Well, you start by calling me. No, I like how you say right sizing because that's a huge thing. Oftentimes people have a hard time. You just have to make come to terms with the space that your new size is. You're not going to be able to bring everything that you want to bring. So you want to bring purposeful items. And another something you said was how you've been helping them downsize. Did you find it easier when you helped your mom and helping Warren's parents than when you were trying to decide what to downsize?
100 times fold. Easier.
Yes.
It's crazy how fast I could work.
Yeah. That's why a professional organizer is great, because it takes out, even how you were saying at the beginning, you were really overwhelmed when you first met me about figuring out like logistically, like, how am I going to do this move? Like, how do I, I think it's just where like professional organizers are so beneficial, because it's easy for me. You have emotional attachments to your house. It's where your daughters grew up. It's you're thinking of a lot more things and you don't even realize it than just thinking of, oh, you just have to pack up the stuff from this house, pack it nice so it's stored, unpack it at the next house, but from an outside opinion. So I think like when you start with downsizing, even if you don't have the funds for a professional organizer, but having a family member,
right?
Like how you helped your mom, like it would probably take your mom a year, 2 years to downsize yourself. Whereas
well,
you
actually,
can go
30 years. 30 years. The basement has not been cleaned, but she doesn't even go down there anymore. So that's why I was like, okay, because we're thinking it's time to move into a retirement home.
Yeah.
Maybe if I can relieve the burden of knowing this basement has to be cleaned, taking care of that for her. So
she'll feel better. Yeah. And a big thing too is like she's moving on to another phase. So lots of times when we think about people downsizing, we think of seniors. But it's not necessarily that. Like nowadays, it's lots of families who bought larger homes and now realize that that's too expensive, or they move to a more expensive city. Like we were living up north and had a huge home, but then moving back down to Kelowna, well, we were going to downsize. We're not going to be able to afford the same home as we could afford 10 hours north of Kelowna. And then also too, a lot of people are going and becoming sort of like digital nomads. I've downsized 2 people now and they're like, okay, like I'm doing it. Like I'm moving to wherever and I'm like, I got this opportunity and I'm going to kind of, but I don't know how much, like if I'm really going all the way or if I'm not.
Yeah.
So then it's another time where it's good to have like an outside opinion or somebody to help you with it, because they can kind of, or they've done it before.
Okay. Well, this leads you to my next project, because I think we want to have you help with Warren's parents' house here, because it's such a dilemma where it's like, well, they don't actually need any of the things. At their other house is already full and fully decorated and has everything. So what the heck, you know?
In those cases, you can kind of start too with, even if it is a house, like sometimes when people have passed, you can do estate sales where people just come through the house. If you're, you kind of have to be ready to like deal with things on the spot there. But if you had a family member, or somebody doing that for you,
interesting,
it can kind of be a way to help. And also too, it's good if there is some items that you've been holding onto for a while and you're not sure, you think, go and investigate those items. Like let's say an old china set or an old chair, and you may find that they were worth a lot, or you may find that they're not worth a lot. And it kind of makes the bigger picture like kind of open up for you. It's like, you know what, if that stuff wasn't worth as much and this stuff, like maybe it is just better to get rid of it.
Right. You know, sometimes I like to think of things in terms of, well, what did I pay for that? So I paid $2,000 for that, which sounds like a lot, but it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So it cost me $100 a year to have this couch. That's not that bad.
Yeah. That's really,
so,
bad. That's,
you know, if I get $50 or $100 for it, well, good enough. You know,
yeah,
at least it's gone. And then I don't, because there's some real cost in actually moving it and getting rid of things and, you know, having
even storing
that too. It's not free to get rid of your stuff.
No. Yeah. And even storing stuff is quite expensive nowadays. Like small storage lockers are $300 to $400. I think just the biggest thing with downsizing too is it's like everything in life, like knowing your why. Like, why am I doing this? And I always say to people, like, it's not what you're letting go of or getting rid of. It's what you're
like that.
Like, what are you gaining from this experience? Like, I say that quite often when I'm in people's homes. Like, it's not what you're letting go of. It's what you're gaining. Like, what are you getting from getting rid of this stuff? Like, you're going to be able, you're going to have more time freed up because you're not going to be cleaning and managing your house so much. You're going to be able to, like, live smaller and afford that vacation that you want to go on. Or if somebody is downsizing, like if a partner's passed and now they're moving into a senior living facility, it's nice to focus on, like, there's going to be more people around. Like, it's going to be more of a community. Like, focus on the good things about the next step that you're moving to, and it'll really motivate you to, okay, I just got to get through this and then I'm on to that next step.
I love that. And that it's a way to relieve that anchor, right? That
yeah,
because it was good before, doesn't mean it's good now. Doesn't mean you still have to stay in that place because it used to be good.
Yeah. I find too that it's kind of like not to be cheesy, but like the layers of an onion. Like you start with people and they're decluttering and they're like, okay, yeah. But then as it gets going, like if you can even just, I'll leave people homework assignments to try and cut the cost. Like they'll just book me for one or two.
I forgot that you did that with me. Yeah.
Or they'll book me for just one or two sessions. And I know like, okay, we want to get through this in a way that we like don't waste all their resources. So even just getting people like off on the right foot, because once you start getting rid of stuff, it kind of becomes like a natural high. You're like, oh my gosh, like the texts I get when I leave people's houses, it's always like all capitals. And it's a couple hours later and they're like, still buzzing off getting rid of all that explicit. Like they're like always like, and I like show my husband, I'm like another happy client. Like they're just like, this is, when do you come back? Like what else can we get rid of? Like
keep it going.
Yeah.
And then I find you want to spread the good news.
The good news, yeah.
Help your friends. Like my sweet friend Helen's been complaining about her garage for a long time. And I'm like, you gotta call Kate.
Let's get you going.
Like, yeah, I'm like just getting that momentum, right? You can just thrive off the momentum. It's true. It's true. And I think also like just the time you save not looking for stuff.
Not looking everything, for stuff.
Yeah. We'll have looking, a place. And
looking for things, trying to find things. Yeah. You're just streamlining your life. And I shouldn't say so much like getting rid of stuff, but more just like organizing it. Like I have some clients where we come in and they're like, I don't want to get rid of anything. And I'm like, okay, I understand. Like I get it. Or you're doing like a studio or something or like a store and they're like, we can't get rid of anything. Like this is all like we need to sell all of this. So even just getting it organized so you know what you have. And then sometimes getting it organized, you can look and be like, okay, I got 6 mixing bowls. Like when you see it all together, it's a lot easier to pare down. And a professional organizer, that's like what I do with my clients, is I always group all the like things together. And I'm like, okay, we got 6 patio umbrellas. Like we got 2 patios on the house. Say we take one to the beach, and I'm kind of funny too, so it goes well. Like we take one to the beach. Our sister needs one. We still have 2 extras. We're still at 6 umbrellas for a 2 patio house. Thoughts? And then they're like, okay, that makes sense now.
Right.
Then if you go around the house and you find each umbrella, not that you're storing patio umbrellas in your house, but you get what I mean.
Oh, and I totally do.
Yeah.
And I think there's an education process about your own buying habits too, because when you see that, you're like, oh my gosh, I buy too many mixing bowls. I know I buy too many charcuterie boards.
Yeah. That's me. I have serving platters and I don't really enjoy entertaining. I don't like having guests over, and I have like all these beautiful serving trays for one day when I like start enjoying entertaining. And then I had to be like, why am I storing these when we downsized? I'm like, you don't even like having people over.
Also, I love tote bags. For some reason, I'll go into a store, and if they have tote bags, I'm like, ooh, oh, look at all the pumpkins, look at all the whatever, and I'll put it in with all my other tote bags.
For some reason,
I don't really like all those little tote bags, but gosh, I love to buy a tote bag.
It's fun. Everybody has their thing that they enjoy, but it's true. When you see it all together, then it's easier to make a decision on it and be like, oh, okay.
Right.
And how you said the spending habits, I find it's huge in people's pantries. Like when I do families' pantries and I'll take out all the expired items and stuff, and they really notice, they're like, okay, like we got to stop buying pasta from Costco. Like this is, it can help today, especially with how like expensive grocery prices are.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of people's pantries and they've texted me after and been like, this is such a good setup that you did in here. Cause now I look and I'm not like overbuying or over shopping. I look and I'm like, okay, we only have 1 pasta sauce left. I only need to go buy 1 more or whatever the item is, instead of just opening your pantry, not knowing what's in there, go buy all your groceries for the week. Well, you already have that, or you had one expired, or you didn't need another. It just kind of like,
know that you have this tendency to overbuy pasta.
Yeah.
And be like, well, I'm not going to buy the pasta today because I obviously overbuy the pasta. So, I mean, that's an interesting thing to think about, reducing the stuff you have and will help you save money.
Yeah, it really does help you save money. And then you can find things. Like, it's actually funny. We're redoing our garage. So I have all the totes piled up right now, and I can't get to them easily. We're getting like a tote storage thing put in.
Oh, yeah.
And I caught myself, and it's St. Patrick's Day, and she has to go to school, my daughter, and wear something green. And I know I have, and I know what tote they're in, but it was piled 8 high, and my husband was out. Like, there was a lot going on that week. I was organizing a bunch, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll just go down and get her a little green bow thing to wear to school. But I thought, I'm like, this is a perfect case, like, in my head. I'm like, where if you couldn't find it, you would just go buy another. Like, true. I knew where mine was, but I couldn't get to it. But you're just overbuying these items, like,
Just for convenience.
But you don't really.
Yeah.
But then there's another school of thought too that I heard recently. And it's, if you have the means, like if you're a person who's in a comfortable financial position, if it's something under $10 or $20, whatever the limit is to you, if it's under $20 and you can go buy it in, or under, yeah, under $20 and you can buy it in less than 10 minutes, you don't really need to own one in your home. Like gift bags and stuff. Like if you live in a close to a store, a dollar store nowadays, because they're everywhere.
Right.
But if it's something that's less than $20 and you can go buy another one in say 10 minutes, do you need to have a
inventory it
of 50 gift bags in your house? Maybe one.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
I love that rule of thumb. Yeah. Like that is such a great rule of thumb. And then it doesn't make you feel so bad too when you release those items back.
Yeah.
So somebody else can use them at some charitable thing or whatever. And then you don't just have this accumulation of little things.
That's and nowadays, so good. So much little stuff. And nowadays how we are too. And if you are, it like obviously depends on your financial situation. But if you are in like a comfortable situation, when the little kid's birthday that comes up, you don't want to use the gift bag. You know what I mean? You're going to go get a gift bag. She loves Paw Patrol.
I need a child one, not
a I got to go get a Paw Patrol one. You're not even using the ones that you saved.
Oh my gosh,
you're like,
so
I need a wine bag with a funny message. It's my best girlfriend. Or so you're going to buy.
Or the thing is shaped like this and your bag is like this. And
Yes, no, you're buying specific. You're right.
What are the chances that you actually inventory as much
inventory
as Dollarama has?
So I always think it's good, like depending if it is, you kind of have to look at each individual situation. So is it beneficial for the person to have, like just a little tote with a couple gift bags ready to go when they need? That's what I have personally, because I'm not going and running out and buying it right away when I need it, just because I don't like, it's just me here with my daughter. Like we ain't running out and going and doing errands unless.
Yeah.
But if you're an empty nester, and you're sitting at home and you're getting a gift together for your granddaughter, like you may have a lot more time that it's, and you're going to go wrap that gift beautifully for her anyways.
And you want it to look nice.
And you want it to look nice. So it kind of goes with like the stage of life you're in too, your financial situation, but there's all these like different ways we can approach it and do it like individually for the person is how I like to do it.
That's
I like
a good idea. You know what I love to do is when I do sell something on Marketplace or I do sell something, I put it in another bank account and I call it my little bonus money. And then when there's something else I would really enjoy or want or feel guilty to buy, I use the bonus money. And
then I'm like, money. I love that.
There you go. I translated some stuff that I wasn't bringing me joy to something that does bring me joy.
That does bring you joy.
Which
I love that.
It's probably more shoes, but.
Yeah, just more shoes. I'm going to adopt that though. I'm going to use that with clients. Like if we're selling stuff from your house, why don't you keep that? And then you guys go out for a nice dinner and celebrate downsizing and buying a new house or go. Yeah, that's a really good
buy
idea.
Buy something fresh that will look great that you'll enjoy for your house. Some, you know, some fresh flowers or something. I love doing little bonus things where I wouldn't normally treat myself. And then it feels like a free treat.
Yeah, it feels like free money.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Okay, you were just full of such great ideas. And the other day I was following you on Instagram and I saw you released a book. And
you
fill me in on the book because this is so wonderful.
Thank you. It's an ebook and it's over 50 pages because I wanted to put a lot of information in there. And it kind of touches on all subjects. Like I made it, one really interesting thing in there is I included what I bring in my toolkit to each job. Because I really think that home organizing, it's been such a great business for me as a mom. And this ebook is also good if you're interested in starting your own home organizing. Like there's lots of tips and tricks in there. And at the very beginning, I put how I organize each room so quickly, like my kind of little steps that I do. And it's just, I touched on lots of areas. There's checklists in there for birthday parties for moms, because I at every birthday party, everyone forgets the same two items. So I put that on the checklist.
Okay.
And it covers not all the areas of the home, but most of them. I did the bedroom, the pantry, the garage. There's ways to get your kids motivated. There's ways to motivate yourself in there. There's morning routines and nighttime routines. I just really wanted to find a way to bring organizing to people in an affordable way too. Not having to pay for a professional organizer, or if you just want to get kickstarted in the right direction or kind of do it yourself, then this is a way that you can start your own organizing journey. So I just,
awesome. So how do people get the book?
It's available on my website at clearthechaos.ca, and you'll see a button on there and it says organize yourself. So you just click on there and then it'll bring you to where you can buy the book. And right now you purchase it through PayPal, but okay, if you don't have PayPal, or if there's any reason or that you can't setting up your PayPal, you can just contact me through Instagram and I can send it to you directly.
Nice. And what's your Instagram handle again?
It's at clearthechaosorganizing. And I can be reached through email at consults@clearthechaos.ca. So if you get in contact with me for organizing or for the ebook, or I even offer free in-person consults, because sometimes people just need a bit of a sounding board or to see where to get started or to just kind of see the vibe too of if they want to work with a professional organizer, because it is kind of a newer industry.
Well, I think that's a great thing that you do that as a business lady myself. I think you are your best salesperson, because when they see your energy, they'll know she's going to get it done. Right. And, you know, sometimes it just seems like such a long road from here to there. And then you see somebody who can come in and help you do it. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, this could actually really happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to say, when I downsized Mom's Basement at the end of it, as a horrendous job as that was, at the end of it, it was like, wow, we really did that.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I feel like doing it while my mom is still around was a heck of a lot easier than it will be downsizing after, which, by the way, I don't know if my family is listening. I'm out for it. They can do it.
Pam's done her part. So somebody
else. My part. So
she
does
not wish to be an executor on anything.
Y'all. Yeah, exactly.
She's put in her time and then some.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I will get in touch with you, talk about Warren's parents' place. And Kate, that was fantastic. I try to keep these podcasts to about 20 minutes. We're already almost at a half an hour here. And I loved it. I love you. I think you're fantastic. I'm a huge fan and I love watching your career just soar. And I thank you for the things that you've done for us already. And thank you for being on the podcast. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you, Pam. Thank you so much. It was so fun working with you guys. And this was a hoot too. I love it.
Yeah, this was good. We'll have you back. Good. We'll have you back.
I want to.
I'm curious to see how the ebook goes. And also, when someone downloads your ebook, how do they read it? Like, what form does it come in?
It's just like a PDF.
Okay.
So then, and then they have it and they can go back and reference it and look through it. And
all right. Well, everybody, that was Kate from Clear the Chaos Organizing and our first real guest on a Talk with Mom.
Thanks for having me, Pam.
I can't wait to have more fabulous moms like yourself. And everybody, go, this is your call. Go get organized.
Yeah, do
it. Kate's giving you the hints. And if not, message Kate. She'll help you out.
Call me.
Call her. All right. Thanks, Kate.
No problem, Pam. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
We did good, right? We did so good.